Let's see where I want to take you. I want to preach from, I'll put it to you this way. I want to preach from, we'll take this as a text since we've been here. Come on, Psalms 1, come on. We'll just take it as a text since we've been here. All right? But I'm leading you somewhere with this thing. I wanted to, oh God, this is so good. I'll just give you the scripture references. Okay, Psalms 1, we know this, it's familiar, but how about we read it again? All right, and the reason why I want to drill this into your spirit is because Psalms 1 is a preamble for the entire book of Psalms. Psalms 1 sets the tone for the book, all right? And we know Psalms 1 starts off by saying, blessed is the man, or another translation would say, happy is he. Happy is the person, all right? And so blessed is the man. Happy is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? And stand in the path of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. You see the progression there? I taught you that. First you start walking, then you start standing, and the next thing you know, you're taking a seat. This is very, very important. You're taking a seat, right? And then it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. And here's where I'm about to start. I want to preach to you from right here, this next part. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, in its season, in its season, in its season, in, okay, in its season, who brings forth fruit. When? Who brings forth fruit when? This is very important because remember I taught you about a kairos moment? That word season there is the same translation, kairos, in the Greek. And so when you hear this word brings forth fruit in its season, it's saying in its opportunity, not in its chronological order. So if your leaf never withers, because that's where we're going, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever that person does shall prosper. If you keep reading, you'll find the contrast to the person that does not meditate on the word day and night. If you're not meditating on the word day and night, you're not like a tree planted. And so Psalms paints a beautiful word picture for us to suggest that those of us who are in God that can begin to meditate on the word day and night, I could preach for weeks on meditation, but don't have time to do that tonight, but that can meditate on the word day and night, and I'm moving methodically at this moment so that you get this, all right? That can meditate on the word day and night, which means it's perpetual and it's consistent in your life. The Bible says you shall be like a tree planted. Can you say planted? Planted. Planted means permanent. It means you're not going anywhere. It means that you cannot be uprooted. How do we know this? You're not planted by anything. You're planted by the streams of water, meaning there's a consistent source flowing into your life that consistently brings the nourishment that you need to grow and to flourish. That's why your leaf don't wither. I feel like preaching. That's why your leaf doesn't wither. I want to preach right there for a second, whose leaf does not wither. The fruit that you're looking for grows on the branch and produces on the leaf. When leaves wither, when leaves die during the fall months that we all see and change colors and it's so beautiful, fall is a very beautiful month, particularly on the East Coast. When those leaves begin to change colors, it means that they are dying. They're going through that process and eventually they're going to fall off the trees, why we call it fall. And so as they fall off the tree then goes into a hibernation state that suggests nothing will grow until the proper time. And so the tree then girds itself down in its roots. It actually roots itself more and says, I have to make sure that I'm connected because I'm about to endure a season where there's nothing on me. Meaning I have no protection from the elements. I am bare. Are you with me? I am bare. And so in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, in particular, we go through those seasons in our lives where we are bare, where we know we are connected to the true vine, but I feel like I'm out here and I'm exposed. Am I preaching to anybody? Well, Psalms 1 paints a tremendous picture for us to let us know that God wants to counter that feeling by trying to assure us and encourage us to the fact that there is never a time in your life when you are in God that you are truly exposed. And in other words, if we go back to the Genesis narrative where man first fell, right? And the Lord asked Moses, where were you? I mean, asked Adam, where were you? And Adam's response was, I was naked, so I hid myself because I was ashamed. God's response was, who told you that you were naked? And so in God's mindset, even though he knew that Adam was exposed, Adam had no knowledge of his exposure until the connection to God was severed. What the enemy wants is for you to continually sever your connection so that you can now realize how exposed you really are. When you are connected to God, there is a covering over your life that keeps you in a way that you cannot fully comprehend. The moment you sever that connection, then you find out how crazy you really are. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Then you go, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. It's amazing when you find something out about yourself that you really weren't aware of, and you came to full knowledge about, you're crazy, showed up. And it showed up when you was good and saved. Can I talk to you tonight or talk to you? You don't want chills to come out here on a rainy night. Come on, man. All right, so when your crazy shows up, if we can talk like this, and it usually shows up in believers' lives when you're good and saved. No, come on. You could handle crazy when you were a sinner. You had no problem going off on somebody. You had no problem getting it in, getting turned up. Come on, man, let's talk about it. You had no problem, you know, doing the hotline bling thing that Drake talked about. Why y'all try to act like y'all know what I'm talking about? You had no problem doing that. I had to tell my daughter, baby, that's a booty call phone. That's a booty call song. She's like, what's a booty call? I said, Lord Jesus, have mercy. I had to explain that to her. She getting older now. I had to fill in. Like, and she was like, oh, no, ain't that type of party. I said, exactly. That's right. You keep that attitude. Y'all said, right? So when your crazy shows up as a Christian, can I talk? Yes. See, I try to act like y'all don't know what I'm... No, you good and saved. Mm-hmm. You just left church. You there every Wednesday. And your crazy shows up. Something deep down, hidden on the inside of you, because time doesn't heal, it conceals. Y'all stop tweeting my stuff. Y'all are terrible. Y'all are terrible. Time doesn't heal all wounds. It conceals wounds. I don't preach all by itself. And so over time, because you concealed it, I'm saved. Saved by grace through faith. Blood washed. Come on. Full of the Spirit of God, huh? You so saved, you know who Hillsong is. You don't know who Hillsong is? You ain't saved. You ain't saved. You don't know the Lord. So, you know, you're getting saved when you break out the Hillsong music. I'm joking, guys. I'm joking. All right? So it used to be integrity music, right? When you played all integrity with Don Moen. Y'all don't know what I'm talking. You break out that Don Moen, you really trying to see Jesus. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, right? All right, so what I'm saying to you is that there comes a time in your walk with the Lord, right, that you're faced with you in a way you weren't prepared for. Oh, God, that you didn't know that was in you like that. Can I talk? Right? And what we don't understand is that when we lose our connections to God, because it's possible, not that you lose it in salvation, but you lose it in faith walk. Work out your own soul salvation in fear and trembling. And so as you're walking on your journey, you stray, you veer, you detour, right? And so this is all introduction and all free. And to get us to where we want to go. And so when you show up in a capacity that suggests, man, I really have some brokenness in my life, as I explained to you last week, right? This is why God gave gifts to men, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the edifying of the body, for the equipping of the saints. That word equip is a medical term. I taught you that last week, last Tuesday. If you weren't here, it's all right. But that word equip is a medical term, and it means to put back the exposed joint. Amen. And so the body is walking around with exposed brokenness, and God gave gifts to men to put it back in place. Oh, God, I'm preaching. And so when you sit under the word, that's why the word cuts. Oh, God, it's a two-edged sword. Why? You got to have some surgery on you, baby. You got to get that brokenness put back into the right place in the right joint and get your covering back, right? And so that you can go out and do what God has called you to do. With that in mind, Jesus gives us a little bit of insight when he told us in John 15, listen, I'm the true vine, but baby, you the branches. Vines, oh, Lord, have mercy. Vines don't break. Branches do. You don't get me. Branches break when leaves wither. What you always say? Branches break more when there are no leaves on them. When a branch has leaves and has fruit, it grows stronger. When it's empty, it gets weaker. Now, I know we're speaking metaphorically, but I'm talking about your life. If there's fruit, you are energized. If ain't nothing there, you ready to break something up. If nothing is showing up, you're more vulnerable. If fruit comes, you're strong. We do not get energized by what we possess. You don't hear what I'm saying. We get energized by what we anticipate is coming. You preach about that shot. And so if nothing's coming, huh? We lose our energy, our zeal, our joy, our praise, our shout, our ability to go into the word and meditate on it day and night, because we feel like, what use is there in doing that? Why am I taking my time on a Wednesday night if things aren't changing in my life? And if I'm not progressing, why am I here? I've been going to church for years, and I keep finding myself, I know I'm talking to somebody, in the same situations and in the same predicaments. Why? Why? When the Bible says, if I can meditate on the word of God day and night, I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And whatsoever I do, prosper, my leaf will not wither. It's amazing to me, and I'm going to piggyback on something real quick to take us to where we want to go. Where I'm about to take you is about to mess you up. Luke 19:10. Hallelujah. So I did a little research. Because the leaf that does not wither bothered me. It bothered me. It bothered my scientific brain. How can a leaf not wither? It's supposed to. It's designed to. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me of something. Leaves only wither where there's dramatic season change. Wow. If there's continuity in your season, I'm preaching better, y'all shouting, then the possibility of your leaf not going anywhere stays right there. So in Miami, your leaf ain't going nowhere. But in Baltimore, just stay with me. But in Baltimore, you're going to see seasons change. Oh, glory to God. In Arizona, there's not dramatic climate shift. It's a continuity of weather. In California, I feel like preaching better than y'all is shouting. Huh? Leaves don't wither. They really don't have a fall. It never rains in Southern California. I got no Tony. Y'all are terrible, man. Try to act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Huh? So, come on, stay with me. So then the atmosphere is an indicator of whether or not my leaf is going to wither. So if I shift into an atmosphere, oh God, I'm preaching about that, that makes dramatic season change, then the possibility of what I got could leave my life. Therefore, leaving me more vulnerable to breaking something off my life, leaving me exposed. Coming to church broken. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. Huh? So what the Bible is trying to tell us, oh God, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. What it's trying to tell us is that we can set our atmosphere in our lives if we make the word of God central to our lives. If the word, oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. If the word becomes the component in your life where you can tell the storm, you can't exist in this atmosphere, I got, because what I got is not conducive to handle what you're trying to bring into my life. So you can get up and say, peace, be still. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting right now. Right? So watch this. We just get started. All right, where did I tell you to go? Okay, you know, I love y'all. Luke what? 19. Luke 19 and 10. People upstairs. Luke. Okay. 19. Is it, because I can't turn around right now. Now I can turn around? Okay, pastor trying to stay saved, that's all. For the Son of Man, watch it now, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is what?
Lost.
Come on, stay with me. That which is what?
Lost.
That word lost, I looked it up. You know what it means? Withered. I'm about to preach to y'all. I'm about to preach to y'all. It means withered. Because, watch me now. Oh, glory to God. Watch me now. Leaves that wither never leave the tree. I know that's frying your noodle. Pastor, what are you talking about? When leaves fall, they die. If you leave them, you don't hear what I'm saying. If you let them alone, the leaf decomposes and finds its way back into the tree and reconnects with the vine from which it came. So what I just told you is the stuff you thought you lost in your life, you ain't lost. You don't hit. Okay. Drop the mic. Walk off the stage. Don't play me tonight. Listen to what I'm telling you. Dude, you can go to Wikipedia. You can go to the Earth Channel. You can go, I mean, it's out there. You can go find this information. It ain't rocket science. It's nature. It's natural for something that is a part of you to try to find its way back. That's why that crazy dude keeps showing up in your life. I'm preaching better than y'all. Come on. Now, Pastor, why did you bring the scripture up? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. He didn't come to seek and save what's growing. You don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Come on, man. Wake yourself up. He didn't come to seek and save the fruit. He came to seek and save that which was what?
Lost.
You don't hear me. And when you read that, you think of sin. You think of sin and the sinner. I'm about to wear you out. So because I gave you the scripture reference, the first thing you're thinking about is sin and a sinner and somebody that is lost. I told you on Sunday, you're not lost, you're misplaced. God, I'll preach you right. You're misplaced. And so watch your name. So he came to seek and save that was lost. Watch, right. And in this, he claims not only to seek, but also to save. You can't separate those two verbs, seek and save. They are equally part of the same divine assignment. Jesus didn't say that he would seek the lost until he runs out of options or until he loses patience. Oh, God. But rather, it's a relentless pursuit to find what was lost until it is restored to the place it's supposed to be. The vine never stops looking for the withered leaves. The vine, oh God, you don't hear what I'm saying. It's always trying to reconnect to what is a part of it. Oh God, man. Okay. Okay, all right. Let me take you deeper. All right? So, why then would the psalmist come out and say, if you meditate on the word day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water? Well, before that, he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. You know what I'm saying? So the command or the inference is not to meditate on the word, is to love it. That was a kidney shot to the devil. because what weighs over your head is the time to get in your word. I'm preaching better, y'all shout. I know. Y'all ain't got no shout tonight, but it's okay. What bothers you as a Christian is that, man, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to get my word. And so the enemy uses that against you to make you feel inadequate about what God has already done for you. That's why the scripture said he came to seek and save that which is lost. You don't hear what I'm saying. Huh? God is in relentless pursuit of your life consistently. Consistently. It never stops. When you stop, he doesn't. The reason the leaf cannot wither is not only because of the environment and the atmosphere, it's because the vine, Lord have mercy, is constantly outputting, reproduce, amen, grow, do something, be something, you are something. You don't hear, you know, the vine is constantly telling the branch, sending the signal to the branch, saying, I'm sending something up your way. Get ready to hold on to what is about to grow in your life. You are missing me prophetically. I'm trying to tell you, God is constantly saying, get yourself ready. Get your mind right. Come on, come on, come on. And sometimes you're like, well, look, I've been out here exposed. I know what I'm doing. And so he shoots you a word. Y'all ain't said nothing. And if you just love the word, if you just love it. So what happens is that as a believer, because, you know, you're living life and you got stuff going on and you ain't got time for the thieves and the thous and the thises and the, come on, can we talk? Yeah. You ain't got time for that. So you open that Bible and you like, no. If I gotta say one more baguette, he says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And because he delights in it, he meditates day and night. He don't hear what I'm saying. This is not a transactional thing with God. This is not you do this, I do that. Oh God. This is I keep trying to connect with you. And I'm never going to stop trying. Oh God. Why? Because I'm the vine. And you're the branches. He even tells you when the branch breaks off, he tries to graft you back in. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'm going to leave that alone. All right. Come on. Can I take you a little deeper? That was weak. That was weaker. Watch this. Okay. So. That there is a constant pursuit, a relentless pursuit from God to you that never stops. No matter how lost you feel, no matter how disconnected you become, the Lord never stops trying to connect to you. Jesus said this in his prayer concerning his disciples in John's gospel. Jesus says, Father, those you gave me, John 18, verses 8 and 9, those you gave me, you don't hear what I'm saying. He says, I have not lost, oh man, come on, I have not lost one of them. I have not lost. Now, watch now. I have not lost one of them. Jesus prayed that prayer. Those you gave me, I have not lost one of them. Judas hung himself. God, I'm preaching way better, y'all. Focus, shout. Judas was lost. And then Jesus comes off and says, and prays to the Father and says, those you gave me, I haven't lost one of them. What? Yeah, I'm about to fry your noodle right now. Wait, that doesn't jive. That's a contradiction. How in the world can he say, those you gave me, I haven't lost one of them, when this guy Judas, you know, he jacked up and he messed up? He's saying the statement when he's got one lost, so to speak. Oh no, y'all not hearing. How can he say such a thing? How can he profess such a statement? It is because when he said that statement, he was not speaking from his humanity, he was speaking from his divinity. You better hear what I'm saying. He was saying to the Father, in other words, God, we are incapable of loss. You better hear what I'm saying. And in other words, he was speaking from that divinity. We as mortals, we have no idea what that feels like because we're constantly losing things. But God is the Father of the universe. He created everything that exists. When he made that statement, you don't hear what I'm saying. It's almost like he's quoting Psalms 1 when he says, listen, what you gave me, I haven't lost not one of them. Why? Because in the spiritual realm, I am not capable of losing anything. You better get me on this one. You better get me on this one, because now I'm about to give you four things that the enemy wants you to lose, but you are incapable of losing it. Because your leaf does not wither. Now, if I got half a church tonight, you better get this word. You better get this word. You better get this word. Watch this. Watch this. You better get this word. All right? And I got real good time. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. God is incapable of loss. He's incapable of loss. Go to Psalms 121. Psalms 121. Psalms 121. Psalms 121. Okay. Psalms 1. Is it up? Okay. All right. Okay. Watch this. I will lift up my eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. Okay. Extra bonus of the scripture. The help is not coming from the hills. The hills is where the trouble's at. This person is in a valley looking towards the trouble. The trouble is coming down into the valley. I'm looking toward the hills. Where in the world is my help going to come from? Need you to understand that. All right? Keep going. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Y'all better wake up in here tonight. And earth, verse 3, watch me now. He will not suffer, okay. He will not suffer thy foot to move, right? Uh-huh. And he that keepeth thee will not what?
Suffer.
Right. So he won't suffer your foot to move. Shout, I'm planted. You know what I'm saying? So when trouble's coming, you're planted. He will not let your foot or your footing move.
Amen.
Nothing can uproot you from this place of permanence that he has set you in. You are permanently set in Christ Jesus. He is the cornerstone of your life. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Nothing can remove that. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not even your crazy.
Yes.
When you got connected to him at the cross and you gave your life to the Lord, he know how crazy you are.
Jesus.
He know how broken you are. He know your family history.
Yes.
He knows your story. And he's going to make sure that your biography does not become your biology,
yes,
that you will not live out the days of your life in torment and pain based upon a bad memory. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. So he will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 4 is where we want to go. huh? Behold, what does it say? Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor do what? Nor sleep. Nor sleep. This is very important. Now, can you stay up all night? Huh? Not no more. You past 30, that ain't happening. I don't care whose you is. Try it if you want to. Something happened when you hit 3-0. 40 is a whole nother level. I'm not even ready for what's coming next. You can't stay up all night. But he doesn't slumber nor sleep. So watch me now. So, oh God, this is so good. So we lose things while we're sleeping. You don't hear what I'm saying. We lose possessions while we're sleeping. You don't hear what I'm saying. Yeah. We lose possessions while we're sleeping. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. We lose possessions while we're sleeping. Why? Because in the night, the enemy gave you a nightmare. And when you woke up, you lost your connection for a moment to the vine. Now the vine has to keep seeking and save that which is lost while you're out living a nightmare instead of living your dream. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. But because the Lord never sleeps nor slumber, he can't get caught napping. He's always got an eye on your future, on your vision, on your dream, and on what is supposed to be in your life. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I can't lose my dream. I can't lose my dream. Because while I was dreaming about it, God was up seeing it and envisioning it in my life and speaking a word to it. God, I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout. Come on, shout. I can't lose my dream. I can't lose it. Can't lose my dream. Can't lose it. The enemy wants you to lose. He wants you to live a nightmare. But it's not possible because God doesn't sleep. Now I'm preaching way better than y'all. He don't take naps. You need a nap. He don't take it. You know you need a nap around 3 o'clock. What is it about 3 o'clock? Like, oh, Jesus. Y'all try and play me tonight. Y'all try and play me. He doesn't get caught napping. You cannot lose your dream because the Lord doesn't get caught napping. Watch it now. Proverbs 15:3. Proverbs. I'm doing that to mess with them up there. Proverbs 15:3. Oh, y'all moving now. That's my people. That's my peoples. That's what I'm talking about. Watch it now. This is going to bake your noodle. You know, the word mess you up, man. I didn't mess you up. Because once you start thinking you know something about God, he flipped the script like, you don't know me like that. Like, dang, Lord, I thought we was tight, man. Watch this. Watch this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil. What? 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 The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil. He watching everything. Oh, God. He watching everything. So we lose our possessions based upon our eyesight. We have limited ability to see. So we can't see the evil that's about to show up. I'm not talking about the attack of the devil. I'm talking about the crazy that's... Y'all too phony. Y'all too phony. Everything ain't the devil. Some of it is you. It's you coming to face with you. And when that old you shows up, and the old you, excuse my French, is pissed off because it lost its life to this new you. The old you is saying, I want my life back. God. And God is watching the good and the evil. And he's making sure that the evil that wants to show up in your life don't ruin the vision he gave you. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't lose my vision. Oh, God, I'm preaching better, y'all. I wish somebody get this word tonight. The enemy wants you to lose your vision. The way he gets you to lose your vision is by seeing the evil that's on the inside of you. You don't lose your vision from an attack. That energizes you because it lets you know you're on the right track. But when you see that you are inadequate because there is a deficiency in your character, you then stop saying, I can't do this and I'm not built to do this. The devil is a liar. You are built to do it. You just have to discipline yourself to say, I ain't never going back to what I used to be, because whom the Son sets free, God, I'm preaching about myself, is free indeed. I'm going to start charging y'all admission. It's going to be a cover fee. This is some good stuff. My God. Okay, I'm preaching myself happy. I'm sorry. I'm preaching myself happy. The enemy wants you to lose your vision, and he wants you to lose your possessions due to the failure of you not seeing your vision. But God never takes his eye off of you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, Jesus. I got to go to the next one, but man, that right there, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whose heart is toward him for the sole purpose of showing up strong. 2 Chronicles 16:9, man. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Come on. Don't go there. I'm just quoting it. He never takes his eye off. Think about that. Think about when you was acting crazy. You lost your absolute mind. And God was up there going, act crazy all you want to. I'm the vine. God, that'll preach. Oh, God, thou have mercy. Lose your mind if you want to. Lose your mind. You can lose your mind because we got the mind of Christ. Y'all ain't right. The enemy wants you to lose your vision. You can't, because God never takes his eye off of you. He wants you to lose your dream. You can't, because God is never caught napping. Luke 12:6. Oh, yeah. Come on. We got two more. Luke 12:6. Is this blessing anybody? Luke 12:6. Man, read this scripture right here. Read it in the context of what I've been teaching you tonight. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? All right, forget the farthings, because I know you don't know what a farthing, what in the world is a farthing? Okay, it's a monetary value, okay? So you could say $2, 2 cents, it doesn't matter, okay? So 5 sparrows are sold for a particular price, right? Sparrows, and not one of them is forgotten before God. Hold on. What? The chicken I bought at Wegmans. Oh, come on, come on, come on. The chicken I got at Whole Foods, that I ate for Thanksgiving, God remembers it. Did not the Bible say not one? You could say sparrow. You could say turkey. You could say cow. Yeah, I feel like preaching. You could put any animal in there, and God said, if I created it, I'll never forget it. If I made it, I know it existed. And though it left the earth, it never left me. Because it came from me in the first place. And he's talking about a sparrow. Thus the song says his eye is on the sparrow. You are greater than a darn sparrow. If you are the crescendo of his creation. God, I'm preaching better than y'all is shouting. He doesn't have any memory loss of your life. God is the biggest database in the universe. I'm about to run up out of here. God has no memory lapse or loss. He will never forget the least of his creation. The enemy wants you to lose your mind. So we lose our possessions because of memory lapse. We forget real quick. Oh God. We forget real quick. We got a real short memory. We like NFL quarterbacks. You forgot you just threw a pick six. Y'all ain't said nothing. Okay, y'all ain't here with me. We got a real short memory when it comes to the goodness of God. Huh? Because all that's in front of us is the problem, is the pain, is the difficulty. And you done forgot that quick that you had that same pain and that same problem 5 years ago, and God brought you out of all of that calamity. You done forgot that quick. The enemy wants you to lose your mind. You can't lose your mind because God doesn't have memory lapse. And when you start losing your mind, he gives you the mind of Christ. This is why Paul said we've gained the mind of Christ. God, I'm preaching way better than your shout. Come on, shout. I can't lose my mind. I can't lose my mind. Somebody in here tonight on the verge of going absolutely crazy, losing their mind. And I came to tell you tonight, it is impossible for you to lose your mind based upon any situation of circumstance. It is well with your soul. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm going to say it anyway. Last one. Luke 11. When the enemy can't take your dream, when he can't take your vision, when he can't take your mind, he tries to take your life by force. Wow. When the enemy cannot take your dream, when he cannot take your vision, when he cannot take your mind, he tries to take your life by force. And so he tries to keep you, watch me now, in a perpetual war. Do you want to know why ISIS is antagonizing the world? It's because they want a war. Why do they want a war? They don't have resources. So why would you want a war? Because if I can get you closer to me, then I can steal your stuff. You don't hear it. That's why bullies mess with people. If I can keep you in conflict, I can take your stuff. If you are at a distance from me, then it's more difficult for me to take your stuff. But if I can get you in my proximity, if I can bring you into my world, I can get your stuff. God, I'm preaching way better, y'all, shall we? Right? So the best way is to fight, the best way to defeat the enemy is not to fight him. Do you want the scriptural reference for that one? Resist the devil. And he will, oh God, I'm preaching way better, y'all. It didn't say fight him. I ain't got no time for you. Why would I fight Allah? Okay. Drop the mic. Walk off. Cause y'all trying to play me like I ain't said nothing tonight. I'm trying to tell you. Why would I take time fighting Allah if I know the truth? Luke, what did I tell you? Oh, man, dude. I love my church. Luke 11, what did I give you? I didn't say? Oh, I'm sorry. Luke 11, 20. Now I said it. Luke 11, 20 through 22. I'm just teasing my sound people, man. Luke 11, 20 through 22. But if I wish the finger of God, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Keep going. Keep going. When a strong man, armed, keeps his palace, his goods are in what?
Peace.
Keep going. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and does what? What does he do?
Divide
the spoils. Right? Okay, go to the next verse. Go to, I'm curious. Go to the next verse. He that is not with me is what? And he that gathers not with me does what?
Scatters.
And so the Lord is saying, this is the enemy's tactic. It's to come and try and take by force. Lord, have mercy. Superior force, the things that are in your life that are at peace. And so, I'm closing. If you are dealing with, you know, there's peace over here for a minute, and then as soon as you start trying to get some over here, something happens over here. And then as soon as you try to start getting something happening over here, so I know I'm talking to you and you act like I ain't talking to you, and then something happened over here, and then it frustrates you to the point where you're like, God, what is going on? And now you have no peace. So what he then tries to do, since he couldn't get your dream because you won't stop talking about it, and he can't get your vision, now you shared it and took it to the next level. He tried to give you a trauma to make you lose your mind, and you didn't lose your mind. You're still giving God the praise. You're still blessing him at all times, and his praise shall continually be in your mouth. Then he just says, you know what? Well, I'm just going to show up and take your stuff. There's a problem with that. Because now, if you are not with God, then you are against God. And since I'm a branch and connected to the vine, that means I am with God. And because I'm with God, that means then who can be against me? So when you try to take my stuff, all you're doing is making it more expensive for you. Because if the thief be found, he's got to restore unto me, I feel like preaching in here, the increase of his house and sevenfold. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, Pastor just told me there's a sevenfold return on all of the drama that the enemy has tried to cause me this year. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Hallelujah. He cannot take your stuff. He cannot touch you because the God we serve is an indivisible unity. You can't separate them. You can't break them apart. You can't isolate them. You can't catch them sleeping. You can't catch them wandering. He doesn't have memory lapse. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. He's on top of his game. He's seated at the right hand of God, praying that your faith fail not. Your leaf can't wither because you are in a perpetual season of the peace of God. Your leaf can't wither because of your connection. And all you got to do is love the word. I didn't say read it. I said love it. I said love it. Because there will be times where you won't be able to read it. But when you hear it,
yes.
Can I take your little step for 1 second?
Yes, sir.
Because faith don't come by reading. Faith comes by hearing. And if you don't love it when you hear it, you'll tune it out. God, I'm preaching about your shop. And the enemy wants you in war so that when the word comes forth, you turn a deaf ear. Come on, touch your name and say, I'm falling back in love with the word. And when I hear the word of God, oh, hallelujah. When I just hear the word of God, I know my leaf can't wither. Whatever I'm going through, it ain't going to die. It ain't going to die. God. Just when I hear it. That's the fight we have today in the body. Christians nowadays don't even want to hear the word. They want to hear something else. When you preach the word to people, they looking at you like you crazy. I'm in church quoting scripture, and y'all looking at me like I ain't saying nothing. I thought we was in church. I ain't talking about you. I'm just talking. It's amazing. I preached at a church in Kentucky. You live in Kentucky. We got to go. I hope you got blessed tonight. I really do. I preached at a church.